Good morning, my brothers and sisters. For those of you who I did not meet before, my name is Pastor James Maxwell. I serve two roles. One, I am the part-time pastor of Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs. And then the other hat I wear is the district president hat, where I get to travel around our great district and visit and encourage all of the congregations. And so, I bring you greetings this morning from the other 167 churches of our Rocky Mountain District, spanning the states of Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and a little portion of Texas we call El Paso. We get El Paso, two congregations in Nebraska, one in Arizona. We are the largest contiguous district in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I like to think we are the best district in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You are prayed for this morning, my brothers and sisters, if not by the other 167, at least by my congregation in Colorado Springs, because I, like you, have a vicar. An intern. And vicars, in many ways, are indentured servants of the pastor in residence. And I always tell my vicar where I'm going so that the saints at Rock of Ages can be praying for whatever congregation I'm going to. It's actually kind of neat because then they get to become involved in the ministry that in many ways I have, and they get to know where I'm traveling, and they get to pray for whatever congregation I am visiting that day. So you are prayed for this morning. I also have to acknowledge at the very beginning of all of my time with congregations that, yes, I am old enough to be a district president. I have to say it, or somebody else will say it to me on the way out. And people are either really very excited about this, that there's youth, that there's enthusiasm, or they're really, really worried about how this next 3 years is going to go. But anyway, by the end of the sermon, you have made up your own mind. In the name of Jesus, amen. For the longest time, school came very easy to me, or at least the academic side did. But then one day, towards the close of the third grade school year at Zion Lutheran, we started learning long division. Oh, I could do addition. I could do subtraction. I could do my multiplication and my times tables and even simple division. No problem. But then there came this thing called remainders. And I watched in dismay as all I held dear quickly vanished from my sight. My teacher said that we had to finish the one-page worksheet before we left for recess. And one by one, all of my classmates got up and ran out to play kickball. The usual ones were always first. There's Rachel, there's Tahir, there's Antonio. Yeah, they are always first. But then, others started getting up too. Now, wait a minute. That's not right. How has she finished before me? Now the clock is racing, and I hurry to finish. But as luck would have it that day, we didn't just have to turn it in. But the teacher was checking it over to make sure we got the answers right. Nope. Try this again. Go back to your seat. Oh, I stared at her in disbelief. Seeing my desperation, she asked my friend Lizzie if she would be willing to help me a little bit. And so she did. But I was too busy to focus, and I continued to watch everybody else in the classroom get up and leave. My mind was not really on the work. Finally, Lizzie, too, was excused, and I was left in the room with my best friend, Dave, and a couple others, too. But let me tell you about my best friend, Dave. And he still is, to this day, one of my best friends. We don't talk a lot anymore because he captains private yachts in the south of France. But my friend Dave rarely went out to recess on time. He was one of the children that needed extra time always to finish a quiz, finish a test, or some other thing that he didn't quite understand. If RTIs were a thing back then, he would have been on such a plan. Now, we're best friends. But this wasn't right. I'm stuck in a room with David and the slow kids. This is not in keeping with my worldview, or the food chain, for that matter. And apparently this was just a little bit traumatizing for me, that I can still recount all of these details for you all this morning very vividly. But I was not one of these kids. But apparently, after all, not everything came easy. And I really began to think, and that really began that day, I think, my less than stellar relationship with math, but that's another story. Now, the point to telling you all this is that I understand, at least in part, where Peter was coming from in our gospel reading for this morning. In last week's gospel reading, Peter says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus says, "Well, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. You can go out to recess now." And then in just a few verses later, in today's reading, what do we find? "Get behind me, Satan. Go back to your seat and check your numbers over a second time. And oh, by the way, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, what does that mean? And let's be honest, I'm not sure that any theologian completely and totally understands what it means to take up one's cross. Not everything Jesus says to us is clear as mud, but some things remain shrouded in just enough mystery. And the moment he likens something to his salvific offering, and so I got to thinking, we may want to pause just a bit. And so as I pondered all of this, I was drawn to verse 16 of our Old Testament text for today from the prophet Jeremiah. "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart." And the word that jumped out to me here in this verse is became. God's word was found, and it was consumed, but it became. As in, it's a process. And every now and again, one might have to deal with remainders and stay inside and contemplate for a little while. And we haven't even gotten to the Apostle Paul yet. Let's reread our text from Romans chapter 12, because there's a lot of stuff here. "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, and outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality." And he keeps going. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, ain't that just swell? I think I'll go back to my seat, because recess is overrated anyway. Here again, we emphasize our text from Jeremiah chapter 15. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Because aside from the fact that there's a lot of difficult things to grasp in our scripture readings for today, taking up our cross, and all of Paul's exhaustive list, we remember that we are also called to do these things. Never mind understand them, we're called to do them. And do something without complete understanding? Oh, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And as we try our very best to do these things, as we try our very best to love our enemies and live peaceably with all, how many people get hurt in the crossfire? And now while others are out playing kickball at recess, we sometimes throw our own little pity party and we begin to contemplate all of the times that we've been hurt like this before. This is what the law brings to us. And we remember all of this stuff. We remember such things. We remember when people have hurt us deeply. We don't readily forget. But on some rare occasions, we might also recall when we have said such words that also cut to the heart. When we have said things that we can't take back. Times when we've actually loved our enemies, but our friends, on the other hand, we've quickly stabbed them in the back. And for what? And yet, who is our God? Who is our Lord? And whose words really do become not a burden, but a joy to our hearts? Let's take another look at the Apostle Peter this morning. He walks on water with Jesus for a time. He confesses Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then things get hard. The words of Christ, they're hard. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed, and on the third day rise. And in the midst of these, we might remember that Peter had to hear a rooster crow to know with absolute certainty how he had failed, to comprehend what should have been so easy to comprehend. But then after all was finished, after all was atoned for, when we fast forward the tape of the Gospels, when Peter and Jesus sit on the beach together over breakfast, what words of forgiveness are finally said and found for Peter? What words of Jesus suddenly become a joy and a delight to his heart? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. As Peter is forgiven of his sin and permitted to still become a child of the living God, what a joy and a delight then fills his previously hurting heart. And what, my brothers and sisters, also becomes of us when sitting with Jesus. We too having breakfast. Have you ever noticed that there is always another meal with Jesus? Always another opportunity for us to be restored. Always another opportunity for us to be forgiven by Him, to be redeemed, to be saved. Indeed, O Lord, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the very delight of my heart, because you put them there. Thanks to be to our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory forever and ever. Amen.